Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
What's something that really puts you off when you're texting?
Just doing it. Just texting, I think.
Yeah. Look, you just hate it.
Yeah, because texting, there's no nuance. There's no sarcasm. You can't show sarcasm. Like, humor doesn't translate well on text. So I just...
You would be without all your superpowers.
My personality just vanishes, and I'm just a body just sending letters out into the world. I'm not really a big fan of it. You can't... Like, romance gets lost. It's just great for facts.
So you can't use your words, Tom? Is that what you're saying? You need to be charming in person, otherwise it just doesn't work.
That's right. This is a package deal, and its separate components just doesn't work by itself. Everything needs to be one. I don't know. What about you? In a romance, are you talking
in a romantic kind of context? I hate excessive emoji use. One or two, fine. But if you're going to have like smiley face, dancing girl, maracas, cake, like, what does that mean?
That's right.
And I also hate in a blind date text context. So, like, when you're on Tinder with somebody, I can't stand it when someone I haven't met says, I missed you today. I'm like, no, you didn't, because you've never met me. Like, that's not...
Yeah, true.
It's over familiarity by text if you haven't met them. And then I can't stand that my biggest pet peeve is when people reply with either just thumbs up or K to anything that I say.
Right, you need a...
Unless you know they're driving and you've just said, I'm 15 minutes away, and they're like, thumbs up, because that's all they can hit or whatever. But don't fucking thumbs up me.
Sure.
Give me a full, like, cool, that sounds great, looking forward to it, or fuck off, you big fat bitch. Like, but just not, don't K me.
I don't know. Texting is... can be lovely and fun when you're first flirting with someone or first dating them. You're back and forth is fun, but then once you date someone for long enough, texting quickly becomes, hey, can you grab milk on the way home? It's just like trivial stuff.
Just so, like you were texting before, you're like, what are you bringing me for lunch, girlfriend?
Yeah, that's right.
Welcome to Ghosts of Boyfriends Past.
Hello, everyone.
I am Liz Best here with...
That's Tom Harris. I hope you're all well.
I hope you're all well too. A lot of people aren't well, so that's pretty much how I greet everyone these days.
Yeah,
are you well? Because if you're not, get away from me. So this is the podcast where we talk about relationships, past dating things, trauma. It can be happy, it can be sad, it can be ridiculous, but we kind of try to have a bit of a kumbaya moment with both our guests and our listeners, listening to stories of love gone really
and
fucking wrong.
The podcast started out with Liz and I being busybodies, wanting to put our noses through other people's emotional trauma.
And it hasn't stopped being that.
It hasn't stopped that. It still is that. But also it's developed into like a lessons learned kumbaya betterment of society sort
yes,
of poem.
Yes, exactly.
I think this podcast is super important to humanity.
Oh, bless.
And
everyone in the world should be listening to it, so get on it now. No, I just sit here with my spray bottle ready to spray people when they make terrible decisions. No, stop it. All right, so today's guest, we have a returning guest. She's my best friend. She's a performer. She's a singer. She's an actor. She's newly got a master's of marketing, which is very impressive.
Wow, very swish.
Emma!
Welcome back,
Hi.
Emma. Hello.
Thanks for having me back.
You're very welcome. Readers at home might remember Emma from a previous episode, as mentioned, where Liz copped quite a best friend tongue lashing.
But deserved and able to have people. We had a couple of people write in to say that it was very helpful to hear how to navigate a toxic relationship from a best friend perspective. Like, how do you help your friend when they're going through that shit? So it was super entertaining from a Schadenfreude perspective of mine and actually super informative.
But this time we're leaving the best friend
I'm out of this story.
And Emma is.
I'm out of the state for this story. I only heard about it secondhand.
Yeah. So Emma's here on her own volition to sort of tell her own story.
Yeah, it's funny. You think, you know, after talking you through a toxic relationship, I might know what one looked like myself. Not the case.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen.
No. And let me just say, when I met this guy that she's talking about, I met him once because I lived in Brisbane by the time they started dating. And I said to him, if you hurt her, I will kill you. Ooh. Haven't followed through on that yet, but I was close because he was within striking distance for a little while.
Yeah, a little while.
Now, on the podcast, we like to say no threats.
Yeah,
but,
look, I feel like no threats, but I'm allowed to – I've got, like, host diplomatic immunity. So Emma can't make any threats.
It was also an old threat. We're just revisiting a threat that has already been made.
Yeah, right. This has already been put to his face in the universe. So I'm just saying, person – don't come near me. Just the same as if my ex Brad was within striking distance of you.
Yeah.
It'd be a dangerous situation.
Oh my. Oh my Lord. I can only imagine.
Oh boy.
So the story today I'm very excited about because it's one of my favorite stories of Emma being Emma.
Right. So everyone at home will get a good view of what Emma's personality and characteristics are about.
Peak Emma.
The peak Scorpio in me.
Whoa, speaking of Scorpio, so apparently there's a new star sign.
It was all a joke from NASA. They made it up.
It's a joke?
Yeah.
I got moved.
As much as I relate to being a Virgo, which is what they essentially said I would be, I'm like, I'm definitely more of a Scorpio.
See, I got moved from Scorpio to Libra and...
You're not a Libra. Get out of Libra.
Not that I cared before, but suddenly I'm outraged.
Yeah.
So if it's a joke, that's wonderful news.
I can't believe
you're a Scorpio.
My Scorpio
status Tom is very not Scorpio
as well.
Apparently I am.
No. You just want to watch the world burn with me too.
What's your rising moon? Because you're not Scorpio. I don't even know what that means. Is that a thing? Rising moon?
Yeah, mine is a Leo. So Leo and Scorpio is like... If only madness.
You are just like a
absolute
lion
chaos
with a fucking poisonous tail.
Exactly, yeah.
If only it mattered. Anyway, back to a story.
So unlike previous stories, this is going to start at the end of the relationship, correct?
Mm. Yeah, we'll give a little quick summary so that you understand why it happened. But the most interesting part was at the end. So,
And do you have an alias for...
Oh, yes. And the rules. Oh, we'll do that first. Okay.
Yes. So, his alias is Joshua.
Joshua.
Josh.
Because we thought it was a douche name.
Yeah,
sorry
to
Josh is out
there. It was really important that he had a douche name. I'm sorry to all the Joshuas.
I'm sorry. Okay, so look, standard rules, no threats other than by me. And if you at home know who Em's talking about, don't be a dick and spoil it, because the whole point of this podcast is so that other people can hear these stories and relate and learn and blah, blah, blah. So if you're going to go around being like, oh my God, what did Em say about fucking Joshua, then... we don't want you listening to our podcast. Go away.
Yeah. It's a small world. So I'm not going to lie. I'm a little nervous about it.
She was quietly shitting herself at brunch trying to figure out how she was going to tell this story.
Because there's more than just douchebag Josh involved in this. There's someone else involved in this who I do care about. So I'm just tiptoeing. Anyway. Yeah.
Okay. So those are the rules. We've got Joshua as the alias. Mm-hmm. As with the last episode, if you accidentally say douchebag's name.
Yeah. It's very possible.
We can bleep you.
Mm,
you're the only guest we've had to bleep.
Yeah, I'm not.
Because you just get so angry.
I get really carried away. Carried away here. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So I met this guy a couple of years ago doing a show, classic me, and we started dating. We dated for about a year and a half. It was an extremely toxic relationship. Just in every stereotypical way, like horrible gaslighting, a lot of advantages taken, really
making you deal with his depression without giving anything back to you as well.
Like, a lot of like, and that was part of the gaslighting as well, which is kind of like making all of his issues my responsibility, which led to a lot of anxiety issues for me, a resurgence of an eating disorder that I'd had from a previous relationship as well.
Oh, gee, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hectic. And like to the point where my anxiety had manifested itself physically. So I was getting this like massive twitch down the side of my back, which would make, which is so big that it would make my entire arm lift. So yeah, so it was like a big deal, and it was a rough time. Anyway, so that's like the basic overview. There were also rumors like towards the end of our relationship, because I had won a trip to go overseas and I took him with me, and there were rumors from some of his friends who are not particularly nice people who they were trying to say that like he was only with me for the trip and all this sort of stuff, which was pretty shit. But he was like, no, that's not the case. And like, obviously I loved him, so I believed him. Whatever, we went on this trip, we came home, he broke up with me a couple months later. Or yes, anyway, when we broke up, it wasn't necessarily that he broke up with me. It was that he had pushed me to end it. So I still see that as him ending it, but
it's like the constructive dismissal of the dating world. Like, yes, you were forced to resign from that relationship.
I was absolutely forced to resign. And when I went over there to break up with him, it was like this issue where like, and my friends still talk about this, that so he was in bed with a hangover when I got to his place, and the whole time we had this conversation and I was crying and we were, you know, like talking about all this stuff, he did not sit up.
He didn't.
He never
sit up.
A year and a half in relationship at
hungover.
All.
Yeah.
He didn't. He did
He's
not
being
even sit
broken
up, when
up
I
with
left.
After a year
I
and a half.
I left his house. His dad helped me take my stuff to the car. He didn't even sit up in his bed.
His parents begged her to stay. Yeah. His parents loved her and begged her to stay. He didn't even sit up in bed to say goodbye.
Yeah.
That's really okay.
Anyway, what a time. That was shit. Anyway, that ended. Moved on. A couple of months after we split up, he started sleeping with someone else. I know this because she started stalking me on Instagram, and it was one of those awkward things where she didn't follow me. She would just watch all my stories as soon as they were posted. Like within 5 minutes of posting a story, this chick had watched it, and I was like he was one of the mutual friends we had, one of the only ones. I knew they were working together. I was like, okay, like I can put two and two together.
We're going to call her Sophie.
No, this is a different girl. Sophie, this is no, okay, different girl. Cool. This is why this is important, right?
Okay.
This is what led me to what I did. So that was one of them. It got to the point where I was just like, so, can I swear? Of course I can. It's your podcast.
It's my podcast. What the
fuck? I was
fuck
so
are you
fucking over
about?
It. I can't remember if I swore last time, but I'm definitely going to swear. So I was so fucking over it. Like, and it wasn't just her. There were, like, other girls that he'd dated in the past who would stalk my Instagram stories who I'd never met.
Do people not realise that you can see that?
I know. I was like, you know what? If we put it in the context of physical stalking, like, you know how, like, it's – I mean, first of all, it's uncool to sit outside someone's place in your car and watch them. But would you also then get out of your car and wave at them when they see you? No. And I feel like by appearing in – it's one thing to stalk someone's Instagram feed, but to stalk their stories, they can see you watching their stories every day.
Yeah.
And if you don't know them and you don't follow them, why the fuck are you doing that? Like, you may as well be waving to me saying,
well,
hi, I'm watching you.
If anyone who somehow doesn't know how stories work, they don't pop up for you unless you follow the person. So in order to see their stories, you have to search that person's name in the search bar.
That means
to
you're searching
see their
me
stories
every
day.
That is extreme. So anyway, I blocked this chick. I blocked a couple, actually. She was one of the ones I blocked, and I was just fucking over it. Because I was like, I'm trying to move on with my life. I don't need every chick he sleeps with from here until kingdom come fucking stalking me for the rest of my life as well. Because then it's just like this annoying thing where it's like, oh, I guess he's sleeping with someone new because now they're popping up in my Instagram stories.
This strange person looking at my story as well. I guess he's got another screw.
It's almost flattering to you that you're getting all this secondhand.
To begin with, I laughed. Yeah. I was like, oh my gosh, how embarrassing for you. You know, I can see you doing this. Like, and then, I guess it was kind of flattering. But then also this guy that I dated, Josh, was like, I was probably one of the only relationships he'd been in a very long time.
He's a fuckboy.
Yeah, he's a fuckboy. Yeah.
And I thought that. And I said that.
And I think that's why these chicks stalk me, because they're like, well, I'm the only other person he's been in a relationship with. They can't really stalk anyone else. So anyway, all that happened, which leads me to Sophie.
Mm-hmm.
So months after the last chick that I'd blocked, I think that was in like the August, and this was in January, I guess. Yeah, January this year. So she, this Sophie chick, started following me. She actually just straight up followed me, which was like more than the others had done.
Yeah.
So I was like, wow, chick brave. All right. Rock on. So she's like started following me, and I like clicked on her profile because I saw we had multiple mutual friends. I was like, who is this chick? Why don't I know her? Because you know when you have that many mutual friends, you're like, how do I not know this person?
Yeah.
Where's this connection? Have we done a show together? Whatever. She was quite young, like 10 years younger than me. So I was like, well, we don't run in the same circle, so that's a bit weird. So, but then I did recognize her, and I just couldn't quite figure out from where. And then in her Instagram feed, there was this photo of her wearing this jacket, and it was a very distinctive vintage 80s jacket, and I knew it really well because my friend Mia owned the jacket. And so Mia and I had done a show ages ago where she'd bought this jacket, and because the show was 80s, and she'd bought it. It was quite expensive, because it's very much a one-off, and she had lent that jacket to Josh for a performance for an 80s gig, and he'd never given it back. And we had joked about that over the years, like, since. We were like, oh, he never gave it back. Like, how annoying. She really loved that jacket. Like, and we would just joke about it, like, regularly.
But not an end of the world.
No, no, no. It was just kind of like, me, I was like, she never gave me, he never gave me that fucking jacket back. What a cunt. And I was like, yeah, okay, fair enough.
But then you spot Sophie
so
wearing
this.
I was like, distinguishable, one-of-a-kind jacket.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that was mass-produced. Like, I mean, it might have been in the 80s, but not now. So I was like, I kind of put two and two together, and I was like, okay, I can see. I was like, here we go again. Another chick stalking me. This time she decided to follow me. She also was just like liking my posts, watching my stories. I was like, this is a lot. But by that stage, because of all the previous chicks that I'd blocked and like had a gut full of, I just kind of snapped, and I was like, I am so fucking over this, because this was like, by the time this happened, this was like a year and a half after we'd, like, after Josh and I had split. And I was like, how much long do I have to put up with this shit? Like, I'm over it. So, anyway, I decided, I was just...
Pause for giggling.
Sorry.
Everyone, pause for giggling.
Okay, and we can debate later whether this is fishing or trolling.
I don't think she was trolling.
But I call it trolling.
But here we go.
Okay.
So, there's a photo of Mia in the jacket in this show we did together, and I posted it on my stories, and like in the context of a series of photos from this show, I posted that jacket and like tagged Mia and was like, RIP this jacket,
knowing
that this chick, that Sophie was gonna see it, because I was like, you know what, it was just my way of saying I see
know
you.
Yeah,
I see you, right? And I didn't expect anything to happen. I just kind of thought maybe she'll leave me alone now. Like maybe she can just leave me to rest in peace. And like I didn't want to have to block another one. I just wanted her to go away because I was done with it. And within, I think it was approximately 7 minutes, because I remember saying this to Mia. I was like, it's been 7 minutes and she's replied. And Mia was like, what? And I was like, I did not expect this. Like, I honestly just thought she'll go away.
And she'll be like, oh my God, she knows.
She knows, she'll go away. No, she replied and she's like, I have that jacket. And I was like, what do I say? Like, I know you have that jacket, I can see it. And I was like,
was she saying, I have that jacket? Like,
yeah,
I have
know,
the same one, or
exactly.
I have that jacket.
So I played dumb. I was like, that's so weird. I was like, I didn't think there would be many of them. Like, I didn't think they were mass produced. My friend Mia bought it vintage for this show, so yeah, but she lost it, so you know. And she's like, no, Josh gave it to me. And I was like,
bold.
Oh, how do you know Josh?
Bold.
And this is the case, right? Like, I had suspicions, but I did not know that they had dated or that they were together. I just had my suspicions based on what had happened in the past with other chicks that had stalked me. And I was like, Josh gave it to you? And she's like, yeah, we dated. And I was like, uh-huh. It's not his though. it's Mia's. Like, he borrowed it from her. He never gave it back. I was like, so weird that he gave you someone else's jacket. Okay. And she's like, oh my God, I had no idea. She's like, I mean, that makes perfect sense because given who he is as a person and how our relationship ended, of course he would never have given me something that was his. Of course he gave me something he essentially stole from someone else. And I was like, I'm sorry to agree with you, but yeah. Correct. That is exactly something he would do. Uh-huh. And everything makes sense. And she was like, oh my God, I am so fucking horrified. Like, I can't wear it anymore, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, we got to talking and she explained to me the way their relationship had gone down, which was very similar to the way our relationship had gone down. And she went through a lot of crap and a lot of anxiety with him as well.
Who would have thought that dickhead men have patterns? Talking. Who would have imagined?
Like, some of the patterns were identical.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get into the full details of it, but like to the physical routines where it would be like he would leave something like that on his bedside table and then you would read into it and it was like identical things he would leave, like, and it's like he follows a recipe, and it's not even just a pattern, it's an exact recipe, and it was very,
it's like identifying a serial killer, because a serial killer has identifiers. Yes.
And this leads me to my
his
next
calling
point.
Card was leaving shit from other girlfriends all over 100%. The place.
So not that Mia was his girlfriend, but like anyway, so like we got to talking, me and Sophie started talking and compared a lot of notes. And I actually found it surprisingly really life-affirming.
Yeah.
I was like, okay. Because up until that point, like that relationship had been so bad for me, so toxic, so horrible for my self-esteem and my anxiety. And it, like, and this is one of the reasons why I had just snapped and posted the jacket photo, because I was like, oh, I've had a gutful and
it's
I just
still
I can't
following
anymore
you.
And it's still following me and I feel like I'm being haunted and that's not fair and I was so upset and I couldn't get over it because it kept coming and finding me every time I tried to go away.
Yes.
But talking to her, like actually engaging with her and us comparing notes and finding out that the patterns were really similar between the relationships and like him following these exact methods, just kind of made me realize that first of all, I wasn't alone and I felt so much better about it. I was like, oh my God, like both of us have essentially been targeted by this like narcissistic sociopathic person in an almost identical way. We've had almost identical reactions to it. And we're both really lucky we came out on the other side. And so it was a learning curve for me. But it was just great to talk to her and I didn't expect it. So I think...
Did you feel the sisterhood just like rising up in you?
I kind of did. And I think that's like, it was really empowering. And I think that like, I didn't expect it to be. And I think... You know, as much as I feel kind of bad for trolling her now because she's such...
I don't think it's trolling. You just posted something that you knew that someone would see. Trolling would be like going onto her account and being like, yeah, nice jacket, bitch. Used to be mine kind of thing. Like
I guess.
Being aggressive about it or like aggressively trying to get a rise out of her, whereas all you were doing...
I guess it was in my space.
You were just going, I see you.
Yeah.
And you put it in your space. You didn't put it in her space. And I think trolls are all about going into someone else's space and corrupting it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I guess it is. More fitting,
she wants to come to your home and look at your shit and get offended.
Yeah. But I was just waving from my own lounge room window.
Exactly.
I think I like with that I felt bad afterwards because I was like, I did do that on purpose and I never really told her I did it on purpose. I kind of just let her believe it.
So Sophie, if you're listening right now.
Girl.
Soz, she still loves you.
But I'm also glad and I don't regret doing it because if I hadn't done it, we wouldn't have made contact. We wouldn't have developed a friendship, and we did develop a friendship. And the result of that friendship was that she posted the jacket back to me.
Oh, result.
To give to Mia.
What did she put on there? Did she do like little love hearts on the...
Yeah, on the post bag and like a note in there.
Oh, there you go.
It was really cute.
Jacket secured.
Yes, jacket back.
But for what purpose, Emma?
Well, look, originally she was just like, I'll post it back to you to give back to Mia. And I was like, great. I mean, no rush, you know, I can always like get it off you at another stage, like if we decide to meet up and all this sort of stuff. And she's like, no, I'll post it back. And then I looked at my calendar and I was like, do you reckon you could like express post it back? And she's like, why? And I was like, well, it's just that I'll be seeing Josh at this thing in like a week.
Yes.
And it's like an 80s thing and the jacket would be perfect to wear. And she's like, oh my God. And I was like, yeah. And she's like, this is a level of like, she goes, I mean, it's not even revenge. It was just like this, that's trolling. I feel like that is trolling. Would we call the jacket?
Jacket gate potentially jacket, yeah. Is trolling. Yes.
So but this part of the story is exactly, so I didn't troll Sophie. I fished with Sophie. This is definitely a trolling situation. Yeah. So anyway, she posted the jacket back.
No. Wait.
Wait, what?
You're forgetting about the extra little special thing that she added or was talking about adding to the jacket.
Oh. I completely forgot about this.
How could you?
So she's like, okay, so when I post it back, she's like, I have drowned it in my perfume. And like, this wasn't even my idea. She was just like, I'm going to drown. She's like, I'm going to pour a whole fucking bottle of my fucking perfume on it. And I was like, ideal. She's like, I hope that by the time it gets to you, the scent hasn't disappeared. It hadn't. I didn't put my own perfume on that night. Just put the jacket on. And I made sure that I was in close enough proximity. And the look I got, I will never forget. I will literally never forget it. It was just, it wasn't even like a, nothing really like, nothing extreme passed over his face. It was just like this, like really long glance. It was just kind of this like, you know when you've seen something you don't...
Like a double take but also like, staring into space kind of.
Yeah, it was just like a double take and then, staring off into the distance. And I was like...
Having the ticking over in his mind happening.
But when you know someone well enough, you know exactly what's going on. So I was like, this is amazing. Mia was there too. We were all there. It was the sisterhood of the travelling jacket. So, got to this night, wore the jacket, wore it all night. At the end of the night, gave it back to Mia. She wore it exiting... in front of him as we left.
Wafting that perfume.
Yeah, wafting that perfume through the whole club. It was like, and we've maintained a friendship, me and Sophie. She actually came to stay with me at my place in Sydney earlier in the year, not long after Jacket Gate, actually. So she stayed for a couple of days at my place. And yeah, we're good friends. I mean, she's a lot younger than me. So, you know, aside from Josh and Jacket Gate, we don't have much in common necessarily. Like,
sure.
But she's lovely and she's a legend and we get on really well and she's really sweet and well-meaning and she's really happy now. She's like in a new relationship and moved on with her life and just like a really like...
Are you really happy now?
I am.
Oh, good.
Self-partnered, but like, no.
That's okay. You're allowed to be... That's okay.
I'm not particularly interested in... I haven't been interested in dating in a while. To begin with, it was because of Josh, not so much anymore, but...
Emma and I have very similar dating philosophies now. We used to be worlds a fucking part, but now we're at the point where we're like, it's a lot of energy to put into something that's not fulfilling and sustaining.
Yeah, and I think even before Josh, I was a really picky person in terms of like...
Don't say picky. You had standards.
No, like, but that's what I mean. Like, I am a very busy person and I'm a very independent person and I don't like sharing my things or my bed or my room or my space and or my time. And so when
so
I
in other
pick,
words, everybody else in my life, fuck off.
So when I pick people to be in my life, friends, partners, whatever, I'm like extremely careful with who I dedicate my time to. And always have been, or at least from a young age. So, I mean, it's unfortunate that I let someone like that into my life because I thought I was being really picky when I let him into my life. But, you know,
it's that,
that is
same
the
thing with him, though, that he seemed like the exception to the rule.
He did. They always do. That's the thing. Like, and it's that love bombing we talked about with Brad where it's like at the beginning of a relationship, they seem like the perfect person. And you're like, oh my God, this is what I've been waiting for my whole life. And then after 3 months, they can't maintain. I think that's actually like a scientific thing. They say it's about 3 months where if someone's putting on some sort of facade, they can't really maintain it past that point.
Yeah.
But
I remember you telling me all these stories about how you guys actually started and how he'd been – you know, sleeping with somebody else and then ended up chasing after you and the other girl was like super jealous.
Yeah, that was a really weird situation too because I look back now and I'm like, how did that actually go down? Because the way it was explained to me was that he was really into her and he was sleeping with her and they could have been in a relationship except she was going to move overseas. So he ended it before it got too serious.
Mm.
And I was like, that makes perfect sense. But then when we got together and she was really upset about it, I guess I didn't – like I just trusted what he'd told me, but I never really thought about it and went, maybe that went down a bit different to what I thought.
Yeah.
You know, you look – hindsight is everything. Like you look back and there are so many things that I question now. Europe, when we went to Europe together on that trip, especially after talking to Sophie, and oh my God, here's another part. Ah, this part kills me. So like I asked her, did he ever talk about me to you? And she's like, I asked once and he told me a bunch of stuff. And I was like, okay. And she said, yeah, he kind of hinted that, yeah, he probably like would have ended it before Europe if it wasn't for Europe. And I was like, awesome, gee, awesome, awesome. And like that made me angry enough to go and Google how to sue someone over that, but I didn't end up suing him.
Because it was all about it was around the time that we heard that Mariah Carey was suing James Packer for wasting her fucking time.
I was like, fucking Mariah Carey can do it. I can fucking do it.
Because right. You've got the money to sue someone, don't you?
Yeah. No.
But like what a fucking I just
gotta go to Europe.
It
man.
Just makes
go
me
Europe.
So angry. Like it just I just
free trip.
I can't half I've of got my no trip. Words. I'm furious. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It makes me furious too. I could have taken you. Like I know.
God damn it, now I'm doubly as furious.
Yeah, I know. What a fucking mistake.
Oh my God, I'm that would have been so great.
And I now know. COVID, we can't travel at all. I'll try and win another one.
Ah, blast.
You've never won so many overseas trips.
Like honestly, even if I win another trip and I'm married, I'm not taking my husband.
No.
I'm not taking him.
Because you've
it.
Won what? You've
he
won
can stay
Europe.
Home and I'll sit.
You won New York at some point, didn't you?
I didn't win New York. I paid for New York. No, so I won Fiji, UK, and Europe.
Yeah. Yeah.
UK and Europe.
Three overseas trips.
Yeah. I know. My luck is extreme. Except
so next
for
time, you're taking me. And it'll be amazing.
Yeah.
That's sorted. The motion passes. I think
husband,
the yeas have it.
Goodbye. It's on
and
record now.
The other thing I wanted to come back to, which you mentioned earlier about like the serial killer vibes. And this is like my favorite part of all of this. And I still am like, what in the fuck is this? So when Sophie and I had this conversation and she was like, yeah, he said this, this and this. She's like, I also like found something in one of his bedside table drawers. And she's like, and one of the things he told me about you is that you drank a lot of tea and that you had a certain tea that was your favorite. And I was like, yes, I drink this chamomile honey vanilla tea. This Twinings one that I'm obsessed with. I have at least 10 cups a day, sometimes up to 20.
It's a problem.
And the smell is like a lot of my friends associate it with me because I'm always drinking this fucking tea. Yep. So like people
if I
smell it
anywhere, I'm like,
yeah,
is Emma in
I have business? Friends who call it Emma tea. They're like, oh, I bought some Emma tea for you, or I got my friends into the Emma tea. They all love it. Like it's delicious, guys. Try it. I'm not sponsored by them, but you should try it. I wish I was sponsored by them because I spent so much money on this tea. Anyway, she went into his bedside table drawer. He does not drink tea at all, but he had a box of my tea in his bedside table drawer, unopened. He had, so at this stage, he had moved to Queensland, and so I live in New South Wales, and he was in New South Wales. He'd moved up to Queensland, which is where he met Sophie. So in the move up to Queensland, this tea had come with him. He hadn't bought it in Queensland because the receipt was with the box, and the receipt was from New South Wales. So he had travelled with this tea to Queensland, put it
in his bedside table.
Bedside table drawer.
Whilst, you know, dating someone who isn't associated with the said tea.
Yeah, because...
Well then.
Yeah, and she said to him, because like they were going through, they were cleaning up because he was about to move back to New South Wales, and she was like, what's this? And he's like, oh, you can have it. Do you drink, would you drink it? And she's like, no, I don't really drink this type of tea. And he's like... Oh, okay. Oh, no. She's like, do you want me to chuck it? He's like, oh, no, just leave it. I'll take it.
What's the verdict on
with the receipt still in the drawer?
Yeah, and the receipt
really
was dated from when we were, like, together.
What's the verdict on this, Liz?
He's
what's
a psycho.
Okay, yeah. Fair enough.
But, like, she said to me, Sophie was like, have you watched that show on Netflix, You? And I was like, oh, my God, the trophies.
It's trophies.
It's the fucking trophies.
He's going to kill you.
Yeah. And when I mentioned it to my cousin, and I had not even thought about this up until this stage, she was like, do you think it's just because it smells like you?
Well, that was,
and
yeah.
I was like, ugh. And anyway, that part freaks me out. And I still can't explain it because I did not think he was that weird. Like, I definitely think he's a sociopath, but I didn't think he was that, like, Joe from You level crazy. Like, I haven't seen a glass cage. I don't know where he'd put it. But, yeah, that, like... I don't think I'll ever forget the tea factor.
Trophies from other girls while you were with him, though?
No. The drawers were empty. He had emptied his drawers to make room for my stuff when we were together, like I had stuff in the drawers. Except for the bottom drawer, I found a whip. But the whip was not, it was a stage prop. It was like too long to be a sex whip, I think. We joked about it at the time because he was out when I found it because I was putting stuff in the drawers and I opened the bottom drawer and there was still stuff in it and right on top of all the stuff was a whip. And I pulled it out. And first I sent photos to my friends because that's what all girls do. They're like, what is this? And then all my friends were like, why does Josh have a whip? And I was like, oh my God, should I leave him? Should I run? And they were like, oh. And then he came home and like, I'm there with the whip and I'm like, what's this whip? And he's like, I can explain. And I was like, please explain. But he was like, oh, it was just a stage prop and then I used it for a costume. And he's like, I did not even know it was still there. Possible it was a trophy. Don't know. This but guy, I didn't see any other trophies. But saying that, as I said, I was the only person he's dated in a really long time because he was such a fuck boy. I don't think he's had relationships to keep trophies from.
Mm. Yeah, true.
So
I just keep remembering that story about how I think was it a birthday party for you or was it just a party?
Oh, yeah. It was my like I called it my anniversary because it was like my 5-year anniversary of having lived in Sydney.
Yeah.
Where he just fucked off in the middle
of
the night.
Like he just disappeared in the middle of the night. Like it just wasn't at the party anymore because he just went to go and get high and drink with his mates and just didn't.
Well, he took one of my mates to a club like in another suburb. And he said it's not a club, it's like a bar and it's called the Bank Hotel. And he's like, we're just going to go to the bank. And I was like, oh, okay, see you in a sec. And I was like, because we were about to go out to dinner. So I was like, oh, maybe he wants to go get cash out or whatever. And then it had been like an hour and we were already at this like pub and we'd already ordered food and stuff. And I like messaged him. I was like, how much longer are you going to be? And he's like, oh, we're at the bank. And I was like, yeah, but it's like the bank's closed. So surely you just went to an ATM. And he's like, no, the bank hotel.
Yes.
And I was like,
instead of coming out to dinner, I'm like, are you fucking well?
Like, why would you disappear and like in the middle of my party, take one of my friends and go to a fucking like place to get high and drunk? Like while me and my mates just like were waiting for you guys to come back so we can order food, thinking you went to an ATM for an hour.
Yeah, such bizarre,
fucking bizarre behavior.
Like you just don't do that. Yeah,
he had many mental issues.
And just quickly, before we go on to lessons learned, can we chat a tiny bit about how much his parents were obsessed with you?
Yeah. Oh, look, obsession's a strong word.
No, well, like in love. They just loved you.
I'm trying to be diplomatic about it. But yes, I love his mum. I still love his mum. I still get on with her really, really well. I had actually met her before I met him. Mm. So I have a great friendship with her. And she's such a legend anyway. She's such an easy person to talk to. And like one of the first things she said to me was like, you're one of the first girls that's actually stuck around to say hello. So I think a lot of them just kind of got shoved out the front door. So I always would like if I came home from work or like after rehearsal, I'd sit down and have a cup of tea with her before I went to bed. So I was really good mates with her, and with his dad too. Mm. Like his dad was a lot quieter than his mum was. But I really cared for him and he was such a lovely man and then so easy
you,
to talk to.
When you break up with these people, you have to break up
with their family.
You've got to break
well.
Up with their family.
I still miss Brad's mum. Like,
yeah, of course. Mm. And I miss Josh's mum and also his sister who actually lives overseas. I met her once when she came back on holidays and we hit it off and we've been friends ever since. And whenever she comes back to visit, we catch up, me, his mum and his sister.
Yeah.
Not him. And we don't even talk about him most of the time. Like he's
that
not even mentioned.
That used to drive me nuts though, because even when I was with Brad's ex-girlfriend used to catch up with his sister and she'd be like, Auntie Sarah. Yeah. And I'd be like, what the fuck is that? Why is she still? And then, but I get it now that I actually like the parents.
I remember you and I talking about this because after Josh and I split, I was like, so I'm still hanging out with his mum every so often and his sister. I was like, I remember how you were with Brad's ex doing that. I'm like, is it weird? I mean, at the time he wasn't in a relationship, so I was like, I didn't feel as bad. But
once
also,
they get into the new relationship, I feel like you've got to back off a bit.
Mm. And I have. Yeah. Like I have absolutely done that since then. And so have they. Like, and that's totally fine. Like, no hard feelings about it at all. I just, I did really love them. I still really love them and care about them. And it is a shame, especially when you're like, oh my God, I have lucked out in the in-laws department.
I know.
You know, when you think you've hit the jackpot.
Oh my
God, yeah. Because it's one thing meeting a great guy. It's another thing meeting a great family.
Yeah.
Oh, got it.
So that was a shame, but.
Bugger.
Yeah, it is what it is.
So what have you learned?
Yeah, coming out of it.
What? always troll no. exes. No. I've learnt that, like, you can get closure in, like, the most unlikely of places. I think, you know, I'm such an advocate for, like, you should not seek closure from your ex. They cannot give it to you. They will not give it to you. Yeah, and if you go looking for it in that place, it's not going to come back to you. Don't ask them the questions. You're not going to like the answers. I've gone through that in my past.
You've got to shut the door. The closure is you closing
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Like, the issue for me being that, like, I felt that I was trying to close a door and someone had their foot in it, keeping it ajar because I kept getting stalked by these chicks.
A bunch of women had their feet in
your
door.
I'm like, fuck off. Let me close the fucking door. But then this one person who stuck their foot in the door, I opened the door to her and was like, all right, say what you need to say. And like that, I let her in and we closed the door together. And that was really special, like not just for me, but I think for her too. And our friendship is really special to me in that way. I think I'll always appreciate having her in my life. And I never expected to get closure from one of Josh's exes, but... I did, and I'm really grateful for it, and I'm also just grateful for the sisterhood and the 80s jacket that brought us together.
There you go.
My lesson learned there is if I get an instinct that Emma's boyfriend is bad, I'll just act first, ask questions later.
That's a great.
Yeah, fair.
I wish I got that instinct.
No, my real lesson is trust the sisterhood.
Yeah.
Because, like, I've had – I mean, you know – the first time let's go with Josh because they're both Jay. We'll go with Josh as well because all Josh's are douches. Sorry Josh's. The first time he cheated on me and had an emotional affair, I was gutted and I was just like, that bitch, rah rah rah. And then years later we ended up when we broke up, she was the first person to contact me and go, I'm really sorry that you guys broke up. And I thought, fucking here's this fucking whatever. And we got to talking and he had led her on in a very different way that he'd told me that he had. And we ended up like having lunch together and having huge chats. And then my Josh lost his shit when he found out that we were hanging out together in Sydney as well. Like I took her to a movie premiere with me and he was just like, what the fuck are you guys hanging out? I'm like, you're with someone else now. Why do you care that the two, he's just like, I just don't like the fact that the two of you are talking. And I'm like, fuck off.
I know, and there's some satisfaction in that too. Cause like, I don't know if he ever really, I mean, he would have.
He knows.
He smelled the perfume, he saw the jacket. But like, I don't know if he ever knew that she stayed at my place. You might not know that, or that we're actually decent friends.
Didn't Sophie though post stories at your house?
Oh, she did.
Like
whether he saw them or not, I don't
know. Who cares? They're in the world, and that's the satisfaction.
But
trust the sisterhood. Try not to. When a guy's being a douchebag, don't blame the other woman.
Exactly.
Or the new woman, or the old woman.
Yeah, and I think there's
or the old person, regardless of gender.
Yes. Yeah, there is a tendency to do that. And I think if I've learned anything from my history of watching 90s rom-coms and especially First Wives Club, is that it's usually men who
suck,
not other women. So, like, if you can find common ground with another woman, there's more power in that than there is in, like, in hating her.
Yeah.
Like, because usually, and that this is definitely what I've found to be the case, they've been through as much shit as you in sometimes almost identical ways. And like, and that's what you need. Like, sometimes you just need to know you're not alone in a situation.
Yeah.
And the only person who can give you that is someone who has walked in your shoes.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's one thing to like reminisce with your friends and try and compare notes about
different boyfriends
and toxic relationships. It's another thing to reminisce with and talk with someone who has been in a similar relationship with the exact same person.
Your experience.
Yes, it absolutely
does.
So
I think there should be ex-girlfriend clubs. That's what I'm thinking. We need to start ex-clubs of people who've dated the same person, and it's like mandatory friendships.
Yeah, and we'll all wear white 90s power suits like and sing Midbar, Bobby Horn, and Dying King. Yeah, exactly.
I reckon my lesson learned, just quickly, Emma, you mentioned during your storytelling something about the early days of a new romance, 3 months or so, when you love bombing, when it's all, but it's too new to figure out.
Yeah.
So it's sort of, take your time. Anytime you're in a new relationship, just get through 3-4 months before you start going, he's the one. Picket fence. It's all going to happen. Let things settle down and lay a bit before you race off into the sunset with your new beau.
Appreciate the free trial period.
Yes.
Before you commit to the full annual subscription.
That's right.
Yeah.
Wow. So
I mean, go month by month. You can reassess that shit.
That's right.
You'll be like, it's almost don't the end of this month.
Because getting out of those contracts is hard. You have to pay your way out. It's rough.
Don't sign anything that has exit fees.
That's right. So read the small print and commiserate with exes. Is that the advice for today?
I think commiserate with exes. Like, they could be the friends that you never knew you needed and never knew that you could have the best friendships with.
Absolutely.
How does one go about doing that?
You post a jacket on an Instagram story.
Have you gotten fish for it? Yeah, no, I think... Like,
you can reach out, honestly. Yeah. That girl whose real name I keep going to accidentally say and I don't want to.
Sophie, her reaching out
to me was very brave and very bold, and it was something that I have appreciated to this day.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, in terms of posting that photo of the jacket, like, I look at that and go, all right, it was like petty central for me, but I have to respect the fact she was the brave one in that situation, like messaging me, talking to me. She really was the one who reached out, and I will forever appreciate how brave she was with that, you know. Yeah. There's a lot to be said for that because she's a lot of, you know, 10 years younger than me, and she was the brave one. Yeah, wow. She was the one who sought me out.
Same thing. This other girl was 7 years younger than me. Maybe they just don't know to be cautious yet.
But I think also it's easier because, like, she had asked about me. So she'd heard him, and she said to me, she's like, you know, he said some things that I knew probably weren't true, and I was interested to know. She's like, that's why I started following you. I was interested to know about you because I wanted to know if he'd lied about stuff. I wanted to hear it from your side. And so, like, it's hard to reach out to an ex after you, but the one before you probably easier. Like, there is one girl he dated before me that I still to this day have thought about reaching out to and asking if she went through a similar thing.
I say, if we've learnt anything from this podcast, do it.
Yes. And then we'll have three for the first X's Club.
So, our power suits. Guys, if you want to write in and have your story either told by yourself or told by us on Ghosts of Boyfriends Past, you can go to ghostsofboyfriendspast@gmail.com. You can go to thatsnotcanon.com/ghostsofboyfriendspast and fill out our form. You can find us on all of the social medias because we're very social media-y. Go to our Facebook group, Ghosts of Boyfriends Past Group Therapy, if you want to chat with a community of like-minded, awesome humans.
Otherwise, just rate, review, comment,
share. Please rate, review, and subscribe. I love that you send me individual messages saying, oh my God, I just found your podcast and it's great. But can you put that in like Apple words? Because Apple makes us famous.
Yeah, don't bother me on a Tuesday morning saying, I love the show. I don't know friends who talk like that, but that's the voice I chose. Yeah. Tell Apple or tell someone else and I'll see it eventually. We'll see the good words.
Yes.
We're quite egotistical.
But thank you so much for coming on, Emma. No doubt we'll have you on again in the future.
Thank you so much for being brave. We'll have you back soon.
Thank you.
I believe in love. Do you believe in love, Amy?
I do, Gina. I also really believe in helicopter dates, bottomless champagne, sparkly cocktail dresses, and big-ass red roses.
Well, you'll be surprised to hear that we're obsessed with The Bachelor. We will be sharing that obsession with you and discussing all things Bachelor and Bachelorette.
We'll be talking about memorable moments, who we think Batchy will choose, and the lessons we learn along the way.
So, prepare your cheese board,
grab the wine,
and get overly emotionally attached with us, your hosts,
Amy Duro
and Gina Schwartz.
Love Batchelly.
Two gals here for the right reasons.
That's Not Canon Productions podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
There are known knowns, known unknowns, and unknown unknowns. But there are also unknown knowns. The ancient and esoteric order of the Jackalope is a secret society devoted to unearthing and sharing this forgotten knowledge. Each episode, we take one of these strange stories and share it with you. No topic is off limits, except for the obvious. Available wherever fine podcasts are sold.